Good morning. Good morning. It's beautiful here in Fairhaven. The sun is out. It's a little cold out there, but we expect that. It's winter, right? So we're now joined by Brian Shortsleeve. Of course, Brian's been here on the program. He's been in the South Coast quite a bit because he's seeking the Republican nomination to be the governor of this great Commonwealth. There's been a lot of news going on lately. News in the Boston Herald. Tim Dunn is doing a really great job covering this race and other issues here in the Commonwealth. Of course, he got the governor lying about the gas lines coming into the state, how she blocked them as attorney general. And literally, when confronted with that news by our friend, the journalist Tim Dunn at the Boston Herald, her instinct was to lie. She said, "I didn't do that." But of course, she did. So I think all of us are in agreement, Democrats, independents, certainly Republicans, that this experiment with Governor Healey didn't work. It didn't work. And that she really has to be replaced. And one of the men seeking to replace her is Brian Shortsleeve, who joins us now. Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Chris. Great to be on with you.
Great to be on with you. How was your Thanksgiving?
The Thanksgiving was terrific, Chris, and we got some great news right before Thanksgiving with a new poll out, which showed me leading in the primary, really exciting. I'm also leading the race in endorsements. We're leading in fundraising, and we're leading with the grassroots. So I think we've got tremendous momentum right now as we come into year-end, and I'm really looking forward to being in Fall River, New Bedford a lot as we get in January, February.
Speaking with Brian Shortsleeve, he's running for governor. Brian, of course, we also got some really bad news about the terrorist attack. A foreigner with a firearm in our nation's capital shot two National Guard soldiers. One died, one is hanging on. Your thoughts on that, Brian?
It's a horrible tragedy, Chris. As you know, I served as an officer in the Marine Corps. I've got great respect and admiration for anyone who wears the uniform. It's a horrible tragedy. But I think right back here at home with Maura Healey, you know, we got plenty of our own problems. I mean, Maura Healey tells us there's no crime problem in Massachusetts, but look, turns out there's a crime problem in her own office. I mean, the deputy director of her Western Massachusetts office was arrested for having over 8 kilograms of cocaine shipped to the governor's Springfield office, Chris, and she still has refused to show us all the background check that was done. I've called for that background check. I'd like to see it. But with Healey, I think what you see is a consistent lack of transparency. So we're all waiting to see that background check.
We're speaking with Brian Shortsleeve. Brian, you were in the Boston Herald. Tim Dunn wrote an article criticizing at least one of your other opponents as not being as Republican as you. Talk about that.
Well, look, Chris, there's a reason why we're leading in the polls and we're leading in endorsements. It's our message. I am the candidate in this race who's fighting to make Massachusetts affordable again for working families by stripping all those state mandated fees out of your utility bill. I'm also the candidate in this race fighting the auto excise tax that Maura Healey has proposed. She's proposed a potential tripling of the auto excise tax, which I think is insane. I'm also the candidate in this race fighting to audit the legislature. I will do that day one when elected governor. I will also day one file for a full repeal of the MBTA Communities Act, and I'll fight to make sure that taxpayer-funded benefits are restricted to legal citizens. These are common sense approaches. They will reduce the cost of living here in Massachusetts and get this state growing again. And I'm very proud of where we are. I'm very proud of the message, and I think we're getting a great response.
We're speaking with Brian Shortsleeve. Brian, of course, we're coming up on the delegates. That's going to start to happen. The caucuses. How can people get involved with your campaign? What's the best way to do that?
Well, you can join us on the web at brianshortsleeve.com. We put all of our public events up on Facebook, which is Brian Shortsleeve for Massachusetts. We've got a great event tonight in Braintree. We're all going to be watching what I know will be a big Patriots victory over the Giants. So if you're interested in joining for that, please do. And then I'll be down in Teconk on Saturday morning hosting a breakfast for anyone interested in joining our effort. Love to have you aboard. We're gathering delegates and we're gathering great support with the grassroots.
Brian Shortsleeve. So, Brian, how important is the convention for any of you candidates? So obviously, it's very important. If you would talk about why people should go to the convention and support you.
Look, we are running a grassroots campaign here, and we are mobilizing the grassroots folks who are going to help us win not only the governor's race, but also state Senate races, state rep races in Bristol County. There are tremendous candidates running up and down the ballot. And 2026 is the kind of year that we want to have candidates running in every single seat with a message around affordability, a message around driving the audit, a message around holding the line on taxes. And I know if we do that, we'll win big in 2026, but it all starts with the grassroots. It starts with, you know, a big convention victory, which I know we will have, and getting all of your listeners excited about getting involved in this campaign to win big in November.
I'm glad you mentioned the down ballot because, as you know, the governor can only do so much, particularly with a supermajority legislature. How important is for you to have coattails in this election should you be the nominee?
Look, Chris, I have traveled all over the state over the past, 6 months, and this is going to be a wave election. I am confident about it. It's not just Republicans. It's independents who feel abandoned. It's Democrats who are fed up. I can feel it out there. People know that this state is headed in the wrong direction, independent of their political party. You go back to 1990 when Bill Weld won that big race. There were folks up and down the ticket, state rep, state senator, county commissioner, selectman, who won races nobody thought they could win. But you got to be on the ballot. We've got to field candidates in every single part of the ballot, top to bottom. So when that wave hits in November of 2026, we'll have candidates winning from top to bottom. And in Bristol County, I think the team in Bristol County is doing a great job recruiting candidates to run at every level.
Speaking with Brian Schulze. Brian, most of my audience out there, regardless of their party affiliation, is shocked by their gas and electric bills. Talk about that.
Maura Healey's climate policies have been a complete and total failure. The Wall Street Journal over the weekend ran an article on how painful those policies have been for working families. We now, in the continental United States, have the second highest electricity cost in the whole country. It's killing working families. It's driving businesses out of this state. And here's the deal, Chris. When I am governor, I will strip all of those state-mandated fees out of your utility costs. Maura Healey could do that tomorrow.
Yes.
In fact, her own party, Representative Cusack, who's a Democrat, who runs the Energy Committee in the State House of Representatives, he has a bill out that would strip those fees out. It would roll back the Mass Save program. It would change a lot of those mandates around 2030, 2050 net zero to advisory guidelines. That's what we should be doing. But guess what, Chris? Maura Healey won't touch it.
Right.
Her own party has recognized that these energy policies have been a complete failure and they're killing working families, but she won't touch it because she is owned hook, line, and sinker by the special interests that control the climate agenda. When I'm governor, we will do all those things, and we'll do them day one. The governor controls the Department of Public Utilities. The governor appoints the commissioners. The governor has tremendous latitude to make those changes, and I'll do it the first day I'm in office as governor.
Brian, I want to thank you for joining me again. How do people get involved with your campaign, help you out, get more information?
Well, Chris, please join us on Facebook at Brian Schwartzleaf for Massachusetts or on the web at brianschwartzleaf.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian. Have a great day. Brian, I was trying to get everybody through it in last week, but he was traveling for the holidays, and we certainly understand that. It was a short week last week. So there's Brian Schwartzleaf. Again, he spent a lot of time down here, including time in the studio, to take your questions. Just sort of like my policy. I've had in, obviously, Mike Keneally. Obviously, Mike Minogue was here, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. And Brian has been here as well. I think everybody, regardless of your political persuasion, realizes that Governor Healey has to go. This experiment was a total failure. Total failure. And look, guys, you know I talk to elected Democrats. They realize she's a total disaster. Total disaster. All right. So if you're on hold, stay there. I do want to speak with you. It's open phones for the rest of the program. Again, we have representatives who in this area who voted for the green agenda to raise your electric bills, are voting to fund the legal bills of illegal aliens. No one's paying your bills, but the illegal aliens, thanks to our supermajority Democrats, are getting it all. And now we had this bizarre rally in the State House covered by the New Bedford Light, where illegal aliens were using violent language about our elected federal government. I don't care if you voted for Donald Trump or not. That's how a republic works. You can't allow illegal aliens to be shouting violent rhetoric in our State House while our own representatives are protecting them. What the hell is going on around here? All right, stick around. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
When he's on his third drink before the wheels of the plane leave the ground. Making parts with the stewardess high over long out of sound. She's also spending some time on the island. Too much city madness gives her the blues. They make her neither has that much to lose.
Welcome back to the program. It's a little cold out there, so it is always time for some Jimmy Buffett, right? You know, it's that magical time of the year here on the South Coast when your car won't start, your wallet's empty, and that special someone on your list has champagne dreams. Well, don't panic. Mid-City Scrap right in Westport has your back covered, all right? In your tow truck, by the way. They are paying top dollar for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars, right? It doesn't matter. They'll tow it for free. Get it out of your sight, and you'll get the cash you need for those Christmas gifts, maybe a vacation. This means more cash for gifts, heating oil, vacations, and let's be honest, more eggnog. So, call Mid-City Scrap today or stop by. They're right in Westport, 548 State Road. That's Route 6. Mid-City Scrap, turning your junk car into cash, right? All right, we got people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, my friend?
Hanging in there. You have a good Thanksgiving.
I did. It was wonderful.
Very good. Good to hear. You know, people like Tony Cabral, we can't afford champagne. We have to go to, Market Basket and get the Welch grape juice sparkling knockoff, you know?
Put some vodka
I'm going to try to tie this all in together.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to try to tie in together about the Democrats. The Democrats, all their virtual singling. You got Chris Markey up there at the State House. No one's above the law. Virtual singling. But yet, the Democratic Party, a lot of them are DSA members. They're members of the Democrat Socialists of America. So they're working hard to ceaselessly undermine the rule of law. So what Tony Cabral and many of the Democrats up on Beacon Hill are telling us, that illegal aliens, and they violated the law, but they are immune from federal law and the repercussions, that they can evade at will whenever they want federal law. And the Democrats, they can do whatever they want. They're above the law, although they keep saying we're all, no one's above the law. But this is a clear violation of Title 8, Federal Immigration Law, Title 8, subsection 1324III. It's a federal crime to shelter, aid, abet illegal aliens, to provide cover for all illegal aliens. So, Tony Cabral, the reason why you're not afraid to do whatever you're doing is because the NSA, the DHS and ICE is not knocking on your door, because what they're doing is they're fomenting anarchy,
yes,
disorder, and insurrection.
Yes.
And let me just tie this all together. Now, you were talking about the state pier here in New Bedford, right, and how it fell into disrepair,
okay,
and how it can't be used. Here we have the Attorney General,
Andrea Campbell.
Andrea Campbell, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry about that. I got a brain fart. So she's more interested in suing Donald Trump, while the Democrats are getting away with this. Nobody seems to know. Just like Murray Healy, one of her staff members up in Springfield, like one of the candidates just mentioned, 6 kilograms of cocaine that was found up there, and he got busted for that. So they can do whatever they want. No one's going to jail. Nobody's being investigated, whether it's at the state fair or, you know, Maura Healey's office, how this guy got in. And now illegal aliens doing whatever they want. I want your take on this, Chris. How is it that the supermajority and all that, how is it nobody's being investigated on all of these issues?
Well, and thanks for the call, my friend, and the contribution to the program. First of all, the guy in Springfield, obviously I have to say this, he's innocent until proven guilty, although the case looks pretty tight. I would suspect that that gentleman, he's 45 years old, the senior staffer to the governor who was arrested with pounds of cocaine with the stamps on it, meaning right from the cartel. They still had the brand name stamped into the cocaine. This guy was a big player if he's guilty, right? If everything is as it assumes, we assume to be accurate, he's going to jail for a long time. Now, I really believe the feds, the U.S. attorney, ought to step in here and take control of the case. That's my amateur view of it. Because it is interstate drug trafficking, I believe they were following the cocaine shipment from some southern state. It entered the country and was in a southern state all the way to the governor's office out there in Springfield. I believe if he's convicted, he'll go to jail. Now, as for our illegal immigrant friends, and their co-conspirators, really, to tell you the truth, that's our fault. Your fault, my fault. Quite frankly, the Republican Party's fault for doing such a poor job in fielding candidates in the past. I mean, how has Tony Cabral been in office for almost 40 years without really any competition? There's no patriots on the peninsula. There's no patriotic Democrats on the peninsula of New Bedford. There's no Republicans on the peninsula in Ward 6. Well, I know there are. There's even unenrolled. Where the hell are they? Really, I mean, everybody else can point the fingers. But quite frankly, Tony Cabral has been given a license to do this stuff by you, the voters of the south end of New Bedford. Ward 6 and Ward 5, you've been electing this guy. There are patriotic Americans who live in his district. Some of them have nothing better to do, quite frankly, from what I see, than running against him. I don't know why they're not declaring their candidacy today or tomorrow, maybe at the start of the new year. They take a look at the kind of money that our state representatives get paid. They're on a 6-week vacation right now. Are you on a 6-week vacation? They are. And they get another one in the summer. They're like school teachers, for God's sakes. But they don't have to deal with children. Well, unless you count other Democrats as children, right? 508-996-0500. They feel empowered to run around with their big salaries, big staffs. Because you're an idiot. You're not running against them. And he knows you're not running against them. At least he assumes it and hedges his bets. I mean, Tony Cabral. Hey, I like the guy. I see him some Fridays. He doesn't sit down, you understand. Not at our table, but he keeps it moving. But I see him. He's a nice enough guy, if you know. But I'm sure Al Jahis was, too, to his social, you know, friends. But it doesn't matter. They're still treasonous behavior to the good of the country. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Full of turkey. So anyway. Hey, you know, I listened to Jimmy, the older guy that just called, and I've listened to people, obviously, on the station. And I think that there's a major sea change that's happened. And I don't know if you're going to be able to put the genie back in the bottle as easily as maybe it would have been 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. So these people are empowered because they were elected, right?
Yep.
Moore Healey would not be the governor if she wasn't elected, and neither would Tony Cabral or anybody else you want to name.
Right.
And when New Bedford turns out 7 to 13% for an election, they can stuff the ballot box because they can go out and they can get people to come in and they can gin up a lot of just enough people to
sure.
get elected.
I agree.
Right. So once they're in power, they have the power. And you know, there's no audit going on and they're looking at reparations now and everyone's shocked, right? But you know what? They're empowered not just because they got elected. They're empowered because they see what's going on in Europe. And they basically understand that if they keep on the track they're going, they will be in power forever. Because what's going on in Europe right now is they got flooded with immigrants, just like we did. Except in Europe, it's like anywhere from 20 to 40% of the population, depending on what country you're in. And so if they can control the election and the power base, they don't ever have to give it up again. Massachusetts is a great example. I mean, it's a Democrat stronghold. And, you know, we voted. I was there then. We voted to have an audit done. And it's never going to be on the horizon because they don't care. They don't have to do it.
Right.
So things have really changed. And I don't know if you can vote in the future, vote people out that you don't like, because I think that they're going to continue to rig the system in a way that you won't be able to. I mean, if the president can operate with an auto pen for 4 years,
right?
I mean, holy cow, dude. trouble.
That is a scandal that I'm not even sure most American people have even fathomed who was running the country for 4 years.
Well, yeah, it was Ron Klain and Susan Rice and people you don't even know.
Right.
I mean, does anyone know what Susan Rice stands for? I know one thing. She was the one that said that it was a video in Libya that was the reason why the Muslims attacked the embassy and killed, you know, four or five operators and the ambassador. It was a video. You know, someone made a bad video about Muhammad, and that's why they attacked. That was a lie. Just
right.
like John Brennan lied about, you know, weapons of mass destruction, and James Clapper. Does anyone know these names? I do. They're the most evil people in our government, and they're still there. So,
well, to some degree, they're there. Yeah, they're still rocking around. Yeah.
Right. Right. So anyway, it's tough, dude. We're in a really tough place as a country because we're changing. They're trying to change who we are. They're not just trying to do a better job. They literally are trying to change what America is. So,
no, I agree with you. And here's the thing: we have the right to campaign, to get out there, and to elect other people and make a change. Hopefully, people recognize their electric bills, their gas bills are only going to get more expensive unless you vote the people that enacted these laws out. That's what you have to do.
Right. Right. And my gas bill was $75 last month, and that was a full month of heat.
He's in South Carolina, guys.
My delivery charge was 5%. So of $75, 5% is what?
$3, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's because you're in a rigged system in Massachusetts because it's all about the agenda. It's not about taking care of people. So anyway,
thanks for the call, my friend, as always. And yeah, folks, he's in South Carolina. He moved. That's how bad it is. He moved out of state for other opportunities. By the way, a lot of the people that pay the taxes that you and I take for granted, they're moving too. Now, I know that everybody in the sound of my voice pays taxes. Sales tax, income tax, maybe even some marijuana tax. But all that goes to the state. that gentleman and a lot of the people like him are moving out of state. I know in my little circle, it's growing every day, about, it's not quite 10, but it's between 5 and 10 people who've no longer consider themselves, for tax purposes, Massachusetts residents. They're in Florida. One of them actually left the whole country, but that's not related to Massachusetts, really. But a number of people that have made themselves residents of Florida, South Carolina, places like that. Florida, Arizona, South Carolina. I think I even got a Georgia in there. People I know who've left the state of Massachusetts. These are heavyweight taxpayers. Heavy, heavy taxpayers. And charitable donors. One of them has a lobby of a hospital named after him, as an example. He's no longer paying Massachusetts taxes. He's gone. Well, he's still paying some on businesses. But anyway, the point is, people are voting with their feet. And we've got an opportunity to actually vote. All right, 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
And Chris, I guess I fit that description of a heavy taxpayer, but it's only because of my fat ass. Chris, I have to ask this question. I don't know if you can ask one of the elected officials that come in. I know you've been hot on the Democrats today, but it's the Democrats that are pushing this.
Right.
They want to change the law in Massachusetts to allow anyone who commits a crime up until the age of 21 to be treated as a juvenile.
Good Lord.
Absolutely insane. My kids could go and join the military at 18 because they were considered adults. But they can come back home to Massachusetts and commit crimes up until 21 and be treated as a juvenile. But my question is, if someone gets charged, let's say hypothetically, with rape of a child at 20 years old, they're convicted of it as a juvenile, do they go into a juvenile facility?
I would assume they do, right?
So now they've been tried as a juvenile. They would be put into a juvenile facility because you can't put a juvenile in with adults.
Right.
And they're going to be in there with kids, young kids that have committed multiple minor crimes, but they're repeat offenders. So they go in there. They're running, selling coke on corners for a gang, and they get committed to a juvenile facility. They could be in a juvenile facility with a 20-year-old rapist that got charged as a juvenile and convicted.
Yep.
It's absolute insanity. And we, the voters, are allowing the Democrats to get away with it in our state. No more, Chris. You've been doing a fight for a long time, and we've got to get everybody together and start getting these people out.
Hank Turgeon,
take my call.
No, and you were out on the New Bedford Police Department for a long time, head of the union. What do you think of a change to change the law like that? What will that do?
Chris, you could see this happening way back when they started to change. They had a distribution within 1,000 feet of a school zone, right, to keep drugs away from schools. What did they do? They reduced the distance because too many people were getting arrested with distribution within a school zone. So they've reduced the distance. They allow hypodermic needles to be used by drug users on the street. It was illegal. They said, nah, no more. Dirt bikes, scooters, they allow that chaos to go on, and they tell the police they don't chase them. I understand the risk versus catching the bad guys, but it's out of control now. The Democrat Party in Massachusetts has let the crimes get out of control. They protect the guilty, the offenders. And it's us, the taxpayer, the heavy taxpayer like me, that pays the price. We're paying the price, and yet people can't get out to vote. It's very frustrating, but I don't see myself leaving to move to another state where it's easier because I love Massachusetts, I love my home, and now I have grandchildren here in this state. So we've got to fight to keep Massachusetts the way we want it to be, not let it go to the far-left lunatics.
Thank you, Hank Turgeon. I do appreciate it. Again, folks, you heard that. The Democrats are trying to change the criminal law in this state so that you can commit a crime below the age of 21 and be treated as a juvenile. That means a 19-year-old can rape your daughter, be treated as a juvenile. A 20-year-old can rape your daughter and be treated like a juvenile. Outrageous. But this is who you've elected. Mark Sovia in Fairhaven. Tony Cabral in the South End. Steve Ouellette in Westport. Freetown, you elected Steve Ouellette. Freetown, you elected Steve Ouellette. South End of New Bedford. Tony Cabral, year after year. Take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around. Open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Sometimes I wish I was back in my crash pad days before I knew what cash flow meant. Seems everybody's dragging their head.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Hey, if you want to beat inflation, you don't want to upgrade your penny loafers to quarter loafers, right? Bring your car to Mac Auto Sales. They do a great job because if you don't have to replace your automobile, you don't have to pay these inflated prices, right? Mac Auto Sales, 188 Rivet Street in the great city of New Bedford. They repair and update all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to get your car ready for this cold weather, and I'm sure you do, call and make an appointment today. Their phone number is 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5 for your convenience. You have a foreign car? That's perfect. Mac Auto Sales, which is a family-owned business, specializes in updating and winterizing foreign automobiles, repairs, all the above, right? Mention WBSM, and you'll save something on the bill as well. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale at Mac Auto Sales. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend.
Hey, what's happening?
This morning. A lot of variety.
Thank you, Phil.
My thoughts and prayers. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Phil.
Yeah. My thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to the Tavares family and the passing of Chubby Tavares. I saw Paul Santos post this morning, the interview he had with him a couple of years ago, and I was there during that interview, and after the interview, me, him, and Jackie Santos sat down at the table. I chased those guys around when I was a teenager, all over New England, everywhere they played, and heaven must be missing an angel, because they just got one.
Right, right. I guess they're no longer missing an angel. What a great song that is.
Yeah, yeah, and so many great hits. They were the... He was the soul of that group and just the great ambassadors for South Coast and Providence and everywhere else. And going to be sorely missed for sure.
Yeah, no, Chubby, they were great musicians. They really were, Tavares.
Yeah, and today your variety of your shows between the investigative reporters from the Last Dawn of Providence and all that stuff. And you covered a lot of area today. I'm proud of you. You went all over the place today.
Thanks, Phil.
A lot of ground, my friend.
Thank you, Phil. I'm glad it worked out because, you know, when I plan the shows out, you don't always know how it's going to hit, but I'm glad it hit good for you.
Have a good one, my friend.
You too, Phil. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks. That's Phil McDonald, of course. You guys know Phil. You know what's interesting on The Last Dawn of Providence, which is the WPRI project that Tim White is doing, with Eli Sherman, the whole group. And the second episode dropped today. Here's something many of you don't know. Louis Menacchio, because there's a point in the video today where they talk about Louis Menacchio being dressed like a regular workman, and that was part of his disguise when he was on the lam in Europe. Well, let me tell you something. From what I know, from people that knew him, observed him, he was over here quite a bit in New Bedford at a particular business. Doesn't really matter. I'm not sure if he had an interest in it or not, but he was here. And he used to prune the trees. Like, he was really happy. This was the head of the mafia. Was really happy pruning trees at a New Bedford business. And he also loved fresh fish. Totally unrelated. But there was someone... used to bring fresh fish over to Providence right from New Bedford, because Menachio, Louis Menachio, who lived really to be old and very vibrant into his old age, was a very healthy guy. Really cared about what he put into his body. And if you watch The Last Dawn of Providence today, they interview a doctor, a female doctor, who was his girlfriend for a long time. It's a really interesting program. Anyway, I'm glad it seems to be working out for you guys. And we'll have Tim on some point next Monday for the third episode of four episodes. 508-996-0500. Go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. Steve Willett calling. How you doing?
Good, Steve. How you doing?
All right. I heard you just said my lovely name a bunch of times. What's going on out there?
Well, what are you voting for? Are you in favor of the? I mean, I didn't know you were going to call me. Are you in favor of funding the legal defense of illegal aliens? Did you vote for that?
No.
You didn't vote for that?
We did it in the major package.
Did you vote for it?
Excuse me. What are you talking about, Chris? Spell it out.
Did you vote to fund the legal defense of illegal aliens?
A specific line? No, I didn't. The only major line that we voted on, it encompassed everything. It wasn't specifically just to defend illegal aliens. I thought you were talking something about the underage.
Well, if you don't
voting.
Know, Steve, listen. Call me off the air. You have my phone number, and I'll schedule an appointment for you.
Sure.
All right. Okay, that world better, right? I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and then you want me to, you know what I'm saying? You can schedule an appointment. You're a state representative. I'm happy to have you in here as a guest.
Correct. You have my number. That's why I was wondering what
Yeah,
was
well,
going
just
on.
Text me then. I'm talking about a lot of issues, Steve. Just text me. Don't be worried about it. Text me. I'll make an appointment for you.
I got you.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. Anyway, I got to take a break. But that's Steve Ouellette, Freetown State Representative, Acushnet, Westport, even a little bit in the North End. And you hear what he just said? He didn't really vote to fund the legal defense of illegal aliens, but he kind of did, right? Anyway, I hope Steve texts me and sets up an appointment with me. I'm happy to have him on the air. I know other people in his delegation have told him that. It's nothing to be worried about. Come on down. I like Steve, actually. Pretty gregarious guy, right? All right, I'll take a break. Graham, I guess I do make the best of whatever comes my way, right? Roll with the punches. I told you they're listening. They're always listening. They're all listening. Or their staff is listening. All the elected representatives listen to my program. Sometimes they're so unnerved that they pick up the phone, make an impromptu call. But I do appreciate Steve Ouellette calling the program. I want to give the man plenty of time. So we'll book an appointment with him. Hopefully it'll work for him to get him in here. If not this week, certainly next week. This is what we do here, right? Certainly I got a lot of Westport people listening, a lot of Acushnet, a lot of Freetown, a lot of North End of New Bedford. Even Fall River listens to the program. I know a lot of people in Rehoboth listen to the program, and all the people out there listen to the program. Like I said, elected officials listen because you're their voters. Not always, I guess. Some of you are not going to vote for them to reelect them. Many of you will, and that's all right. That's America, right? Anyway, guys, remember Andrew Wolf in your prayers. He's fighting for his life because of a foreigner with a firearm in America. All right. Stick around for Barry. Unless it's Brian the cabbie. I'm really not sure. I think it's probably Barry because I haven't seen Brian this morning in the building. But whoever it is, I'll be listening. I know you'll be listening. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the Brian Walsh murder case with Representative Chris Markey, from a defense attorney and prosecutor's perspective. He's been both.